2 Kings, the 4th chapter. We're going to begin at the first verse. Did I say Happy Mother's Day? Did I say that? Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to every mother. Happy Mother's Day especially to this good-looking woman over to my right. That's my mother. Thank you. I'm so glad that you are here with us today. And of course, my baby sister sitting next to her, I'm grateful for both of you. She ain't a baby, I'm sorry. She my baby. But anyway, 2 Kings 4th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Let us pray. God, we love you and honor you. Father, we thank you for your word, which gives us life. Now, bread of heaven, feed us, God. Speak to us directly. Sit me down and move me out of the way. Hide me. God, give me the tongue of the gifted and the learned. So, Father, that your people, Lord God, would be built up, Father, so that the demonic forces that would attempt to try to bind us and capture us and keep us from entering into the fullness of God's destiny and purpose of our lives would be scattered. Father, we thank you that, God, that you destroy every yoke, and God, that because of your anointing, you set every captive free. Now, God, move as you see fit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, beginning at the first verse, here reads the word of the Lord. Now the wife of a member of the company of prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. But a creditor has come to take my 2 children as slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She answered, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." He said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not just a few. Then go in and shut the door behind you and your children and start pouring into all these vessels. When each is full, set it aside." So she left him and shut the door behind her and her children. They kept bringing vessels to her, and she kept pouring. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." But he said to her, "There are no more." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your children can live on the rest." This is the word of the Lord. In today's text, we are introduced to a woman, to a widow, to a mother who is beyond the point of desperation and entered into a place of despair. This woman who is a mother, we are introduced in this text, sits in the midst of an impossible predicament that she herself has not caused. Nowhere in the biblical canon does it say that she was unfaithful to her husband. Nowhere in the biblical text do we find that she didn't pay her tithes. Nowhere in the text does it say she told her husband, like Job's wife, to curse God and die. Nowhere in the text do we see she was a bad mother. Nowhere in the text do we find that she worshiped false gods. As a matter of fact, in some theological circles, some believe that this is the wife or the widow of Obadiah, the prophet who lived a life of charity. Yet, this woman finds herself in a position where she has lost her husband, she has no income, has debt she can't repay, and is about to lose her children, and of course, will have to face public humiliation. This woman, most likely like 20% of the women in the world, is dealing with major depression, or she is like 10% of the women in this world who is dealing with some form of PTSD, or might be like 23% of the women in the world is dealing with some form of anxiety due to the loss of her husband, the impending loss of her children, not being able to take care of her home, and again, having to deal with public humiliation and shame. After carrying these two children, after nursing these two children, after the many sleepless nights and staying up with these two children when they are sick, after fixing every scraped knee, after slaving over a hot stove when you're tired, after deferring going back to school, after all the hours of prayer, after all the hours of Bible teaching, after all the hours of staying up late to do homework, after all of the times of staying home when you wanted to go hang out with the girls, after all the times of not choking them kids out when she wanted to, after all of the making sure that the gangs didn't get her children and the drugs didn't get her children, after all of the sacrifices to keep some overly priced shoes and clothes on these children's back, now this mother has to deal with the possibility of losing her children. The text doesn't tell us what previously happened. It doesn't tell us if she started a GroupMe or a Facebook group and began to gossip and complain. The text doesn't tell us that she vented to anybody. The text doesn't tell us that she met the other ladies at the well and had to unload her problems. But what the text does tell us, which is my first point, is that this woman understood the importance of talking to the right person. She didn't waste her time talking to anyone else, but she went to the person she knew had the ability to do what no one else could. This mother somehow summoned up the humility and the energy to go to Elisha, whom she had heard how he parted the Jordan using Elijah's mantle. How she heard how Elisha healed the waters of Jericho by prophesying and pouring salt into the water. She heard that Elisha had a double portion of Elijah's mantle, so she talked to, made sure she talked to the right person. Elisha in this text is a type of Christ. The name Elisha means God is salvation. And Elisha is an Old Testament type of a New Testament Jesus. And when we are faced with anxiety, depression, PTSD, grief, anxiety, overwhelming situations, we too have access to our Elisha. This widow, this mother, somehow knew in the midst of her difficult situation to go to God. Now, let me say this. Let me just throw this out there real quick. This is free game. Going to Elisha for also could mean it's okay to go to therapy. Just want to throw that out there, okay? The prophet Elisha, hearing the predicament this widow, this mother is in, asked her two questions that confounded me. He asked her, "What shall I do for you?" And he asked her, "What do you have left?" So y'all, when I read the Bible, I read the Bible in almost like a picturesque way sometimes, almost like a motion picture. And when I got to this part, I saw what I assumed is the way that this widow would respond to going to Elisha, pouring out her heart after all of the things that she had been dealing with, and his response being, "So what you want me to do?" I was like, bro, what you mean, what you want me to do? I just told you all of this stuff. You know, I saw some necks popping. I saw some, you know, what you mean, what you want me to do? I just told you I'm about to lose my kids, and you talking about what you want me to do. I want you to fix it. I need you to do something. I need you to don't stand here talking about what you want me to do, Elisha. I need you to like parse some seed, take the thing off, do something, but don't talk about some what you want me to do. But somehow in this, she remembers, but I do have a jar of oil. And it is at this moment that the Holy Spirit dropped this into my spirit for a few of you, that there is a danger. Hear this. There is a danger in not knowing what we have left in our house. When we don't know what we have left in the house, we don't realize that after the most traumatic experiences, we still have enough to overcome. When we don't realize what's in our house, which is a type of our bodies, which are the dwelling places of the Most High God, we put up with defeat in situations where God has called us and given us victory. When we don't realize what's in our house, we let the devil run roughshod all over our lives when God has already given us the authority and the power to defeat the enemy. When we don't realize what's in our house, we don't realize, we begin to deny what we have left in the house. We won't realize that God, even though it might just be a little jar of oil, that there's still something left. And I get it. Some of us deny what we have left in the house because of the trauma that we've been through. Some of us deny what we have left in our house because the culture has told us that it's not that important and it ain't that big of a deal. Some of us deny what we have in the house because we don't see the value of what we have in the house. When the reality is, all of us still have plenty left in our house. In the oil that you have that's just a little jar, you know, just a little job. You know, you know, they tell you, you just a little bit of housewife. That don't mean nothing. You just a, you know, a teacher. That don't really mean. You just a, you know, what that went through is just a, even in the little bit that we have left, we still have enough to do and to be what God has called us to be. When even in just the little bit of energy that you have, there is enough in you to still change a nation and to disrupt a community. Even if you just have a little bit left, God has the ability to take a little and do a whole lot. I need somebody to say, I have enough left. Yeah. I need every mother to realize that you have enough left, that no matter what the situation is, you still have enough left. No matter how bad them kids acting and how tired you are, you still have enough left. So Elisha tells her to go to your neighbors and borrow every empty vessel you can. Go to your neighbors and get every pot, every cup, everything that they have available that's empty. Go and get it. Now, for me, this is problematic. This is problematic to me because there is a strong possibility that these people already know what's happening. I mean, if they're coming to take your children, you know, they already put the red notice on your door, and they've already repossessed your car. You've already got fired from the job. You done already went to all the check cashing places that'd lend you something. And now you want me to go out in public and ask some people to give me they empty vessels. However, I wouldn't do it, by the way. However, but I'm prideful and the Lord is working on me. However, this mother and her two children humble themselves and gather the vessels. Elisha then instructed her to go inside of the house with your children, lock all the doors, close all the windows, and begin to pour. What he's saying to me sounds good, and because we already know what you know, chapter, verse 6 says, we know that it works out for her good, but I'm not sure that I would be able to do this. I'm not sure if my situation was this bad, I would have the ability to come and ask somebody else for help. I have a feeling that there are a few mothers in here who know what it's like to be at the end of the rope and afraid to go and ask for help. I have a feeling that there are at least a few women in here who have tried everything, and you are at a position where now God is asking you to do one more thing, and you like, nah, bro, I'm good. I have a feeling that there is somebody in here that understands what it's like to have given all that you have to something and to somebody, and it continue to not work and not work and not work, and you're at a point like DMX says, where he says, I'm about to lose my mind up in here. And to you, the word of the Lord for you today is to keep pouring. Keep pouring, pour and keep pouring. Going inside the house and shutting all of the doors and the window, as the text is telling us, is telling us to do that because God says that before I can change what's happening on the outside, I've got to change something that's happening on the inside. Before I can break this thing off for you real good and bless you, I got to fix something inside of you that isn't properly right. I got to make sure that you are in position to receive what I'm about to give you. So for at least 10 of you, the word of the Lord for you today is to keep pouring. Keep pouring. Our pour provokes movement. If you don't believe me, Hebrews 11 and 6 says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. What happened or is happening to you, the pain is real. What happened to you is painful, but the pain that you have endured is not an indication of an end. It's not an indication of God's not favoring you. What the pain that you are enduring is God's purpose and destiny for your life being awakened in you. So for somebody, you need to understand that God is perfecting something in you that is going to change and shake up a world and a generation. So somebody needs to keep pouring. Even though you might not recognize the power and the potency of what's left, keep pouring. Even when you don't see results, mother, keep pouring. Even when those kids still talk crazy to you, keep pouring. Often we stop pouring because we feel like we've done everything right and we've raised our children right. We've been good sons and daughters. We've prayed and fasted. We've served faithfully. We've turned the other cheek. We've given up our power so others can be empowered. But guess what? Even though we believe our story is supposed to be better, keep pouring. We think we aren't supposed to be struggling at this point. We think that we're still not supposed to be missing our mother. We think that we aren't supposed to still have to be wrestling with these kids. We aren't supposed to be getting passed over for promotions. But the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you that he hasn't forgotten about you. Keep pouring the oil. The oil represents the anointing. It represents the empowering presence. It represents the thing you need to overcome where you are. The very presence of God that allows you to conquer over situations and stand out in every crowd. The anointing is the thing that cures diseases and gives us peace that passes all of understanding. The anointing is what you have left. And so the Lord wanted to remind you again to keep pouring. Keep pouring, keep pouring. Y'all quiet today. Keep pouring. So this woman, that's all right. I'm used to preaching to myself in the shower, so y'all good. If you gonna say nothing, I'm good. I sing better and preach better. So anyway, I digress. So this woman, this widow pours and fills up one vessel and then fills up another and then another and another until she asks for another vessel, and her kids tell her, we don't have any more. And I could see as she's pouring that the more she pours and the more the vessel gets full, that her faith begins to rise. I can see that every time they take one and put it to the side, she's saying, okay, God, I see what you're trying to do. God, it was worth all of this that I had to go through. And the next one, and all of a sudden, and God, I see that you are making a way out of no way. And she pours another one. And God, oh, I see my baby is coming back home. They ain't all the way back yet, but I can see what you're doing. Okay, I got you. And she keeps pouring. I can see her faith rising and begin to rise every time another vessel is full. And then he says, we don't have no more. We're good. I don't know who has been praying, but the Lord sent me to tell somebody to keep pouring. And don't think that every time you pour, that little jar is going to get empty. Because every time you pour, the Lord will fill you back up. Continue to stay faithful. Continue to watch God deliver. Continue to love him with all of your heart and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. And watch God fill you up. Continue to believe for your children. Continue to believe for your husband. Continue to believe for your finances. Continue to believe for your recovery. Continue to believe that the business that God gave you is going to come to pass. And watch God fill you up. But in order to do so, you gotta keep pouring. But mama, we don't have any more vessels to fill. Mama, we've run out of vessels. Can I say something real quick? What this pour is, let me help you. This pour, what God is asking us to do, is not an invitation to do a whole lot more work. Let me just throw that out there, because y'all know how we do. We're like, oh, I got to do more for Jesus. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that the thing that you have left, give that to me. Surrender your life and your heart to me and watch me fill you up. You don't have to. One of the things I love about the Lord is that we don't have to perform for him to love us. We don't have to be all together for him to find us acceptable. As a matter of fact, seeing how jacked up and messed up we are, he still says that I love you and I've called you and I've sanctified you and I'm sending my best gift, my son, for you. So this is not me saying, please, if you leave here, don't think I'm saying do some more work for the Lord. Don't think I'm saying go on and join another ministry or do more church work. That is not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying again is to continue to pour. What this pour is, this is a pour that means that you fully step into the destiny that God has called you to. This pour means that you stop playing small so other people can feel big. This pour means, continuing to pour means that the thing that has been keeping you awake at night that you know that you're called to do, that you step into that fully. This pour means that I'm not going to allow the enemy to continue to keep you in silence you, but I need you to open up your mouth and begin to say the things that God has declared over your family and over your life. That's what this pour is. This pour is putting off the shackles that tell you that because you've reached a certain age that you have nothing left to give. This pour is moving beyond the sadness and moving beyond the pain and moving beyond the voice that speaks negatively and whispers you into your ear that you don't have enough. This pour is saying that everything that God has given you, God wants to use it to bless you and to bless those around you. This pour is to restore your community. This pour is to make sure that your children get through college. This pour is to make sure that your family is healthy and whole. So this woman runs to Elisha, and she tells him that every vessel that she has collected is full. And Elisha tells her, take all of the debt, or go back and take this oil and pay all of the debt, and you and the children live on what's left. And that is my theme for today. It is live on what is left. That God has given you enough, even if it looks just like a pot of a little thing of oil. He's given you enough that what's left in you is supposed to destroy the works of the enemy. He's given you enough to live that you can fix your credit score and you can get out of debt. God has given us enough left that we can continue to pray our children through. God has given you enough of what's left to write the book. God has given you enough left to change your community. God has given you enough left to break every generational curse that continues to come against your family. The word of the Lord today is live on what's left. Don't any longer continue to allow the words of the enemy to keep you down. But the Lord says for you, mother, live on what is left. That I know that the years have been hard, and I know that you've cried many tears, but the Lord says, I will restore everything that the locust and the cankerworm and the palmer worm have eaten. Living on what's left means that you have the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. Living on what's left means that, behold, I go before you and open the door for you that you can walk on good ground. Living on what's left means that whatever the soles of your feet touch, the Lord says is yours. That you don't have to no longer think that God is not with you or thinking about you or that he wants you to succeed, but he knows the thoughts and plans he has for you, and he's waiting on you to live on what's left. It might not seem like a lot, but what you have in you is enough. It might not seem like a whole lot of money, but he can take two fish and five loaves of bread, and the God that I serve can feed a multitude of people. It might not seem enough, but he can take a little bit and turn it into a whole lot in your life. He can take something, a few people, and defeat every enemy. He can take a little shepherd boy and make him king over Israel. He can take three Hebrew boys and let them turn a whole generation upside down. The God that we serve says that I am specialized, Will, in taking a little bit and making it a whole lot. That I'm the one who confounds the wise with the foolish. So don't worry about what you have left. Just take it to the Lord and let the Lord take it and spread it to the people he wants to. God has called you to do something. And the thing that this community needs is for you to live on what's left. Who is this for? Somebody has been waiting for God to say go. And the Lord is saying today is your day to be everything that I've called you to be. That every prayer that you have prayed, I have heard you. And today I want you to be everything that I've called you to be. Somebody here needs to live on even the little bit that you have left. The little bit that you have left is enough to scare the devil. The little bit that you have enough, it says that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. He don't need a whole lot. He just needs you to say, God, all I got is a little jar of oil, but you can take this little jar of oil and do with it as you want. God, all I have is a little bitty voice, but you can take this little bitty voice and do what you want. God, all I have is the ability to sow, but God, you can take this sowing and do what you want. God, all I have is the ability to speak in another language, but God, take take what I can do and you can do what you want. Somebody in here has been not living on, you forgot that you had a jar of oil, but the Lord is saying that you have enough in your house to live on what's left. You aren't finished. You aren't done. As a matter of fact, I declare that today is the new day for some people in here and someone who is listening. I declare and decree that the God is going to take the little bit that you have and bless it and multiply it and give it to the nations. Somebody thinks that just because all you got is a little bit that God can't bless it, but God says, all I needed was one man to die, and that one man who died came back and rose, and that one man who rose has messed up an entire world and changed it upside down. Will you be the one to live on what's left? Will you be the one to say that, God, I'll give it to you and have your way with my life? Will you live on what is left? Live on what's left. God, you can have it. Live. I'm going to live on what is left. And when God says that, when you give it to me, watch what I do. Watch what I do. Watch how your whole situation. Somebody's been wanting. You've been waiting for your confidence to come back. It's what's in you have left. You've been waiting for the right time. This is the right time. You've been waiting for God to say go. God is saying go. You've been trying to figure out why every move you make is you kind of go. He said no. Put the pedal to the metal, baby. It's time to go and do the thing that I've called you to do, even if it's just with a little jar of oil. You can live. Yeah, you can live on what is left. Let us pray. Father, we bless you and we thank you. Lord, we thank you that God, even when it seems like we don't have anything left, that God, that you leave us enough, that you leave us more than enough, that there is a jar of oil still left in our house. Father, we thank you. We honor you that you never leave us, that you never forsake us, that you're with us even until the ends of the world. Father, and we bless you. Father, I pray for every person who hears these words, that Father, that the voice of the enemy that says he's not talking to you would be silenced. I pray, God, that every negative thought that tries to say, yeah, that sounds cute, but he ain't talking, that's not for you, would be destroyed. And God, I pray that your people will experience a new freedom that only comes, God, as we step into the fullness of the purpose and the plan and the destiny that you have for our lives. Father, and we thank you. We honor you. And we love you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.